is TechStrong TV.
I'm Bonnie Schneider of TechStrong TV. As more companies are required to measure and publish their carbon emissions, my next guest says the time is now to start thinking about sustainability in all aspects of business. Joining me today is Adam Maloney, CFO of Blanco Technology Group. Adam offers expert insights into how companies can prepare for the new ESG regulations and ensure business sustainability in 2023. Adam, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Bonnie.
It's a pleasure. Well, Adam, can you share us a little bit, give us more information about your background and how you got started in this field and the work that you're doing for Blanco Technology Group?
Sure, yeah. So I'm Adam Maloney, Chief Financial Officer at Blanco Technology Group. Blanco are the global market leaders of data erasure software. So what that means is that Blanco have software which permanently erases data from any IT equipment that you might have. So if you can think of you're a company who's given everybody a new laptop, you're going to replace the get rid of the old ones. You want to make sure all of that data disappears from that device before you dispose of it. And so Blanco have software that will permanently erase that data. So that's really what we specialize in. From my own perspective, I obviously look after the financials, but I also head up all things ESG internally for Blanco. So we recently became carbon neutral for 2021. We upgraded our MSCI rating to AA, and we're really looking to be best practice as far as our own sustainability credentials are concerned. And that's something which I lead and makes me think about the reporting that we have to do as well.
Well, what are the new SEC requirements around carbon emissions reporting? I think there's a lot of confusion around that. We hear about it, but not everyone's so clear. And if you could explain that and also talk about how it impacts businesses.
Yeah, I think what the SEC are looking to do is to really emulate a lot of regulation that's going on in other parts of the world, particularly in the EU. In the EU, there's a Green Deal initiative, and very similar regulations are coming in the EU. And what it's looking to do really is to standardize the reporting that companies do around their environmental impact. There's a lot of confusion at the moment, a lot of acronyms, people not quite knowing what it is that they should and shouldn't be reporting. So the new regulation coming in should be laying out exactly what it is that companies are going to have to report. And what we think is going to happen, particularly in the SEC, and the detail hasn't come out fully yet, is that companies will have to report their full Scope 3 carbon emission calculation for all of their activities. And that means that people looking at the reporting of companies can do reasonable comparisons from one company to another. They can't do it at the moment because there's no consistency in the way that companies are reporting. It's not verified by third parties. So we think this regulation is welcome, but it is going to have a big impact for companies.
Can you explain the difference between Scope 1, Scope 2, and Scope 3 emissions?
Yeah, sure. I'll do my best. Scope 1 is very much the direct greenhouse gas emissions that your company generates. This is directly from your activities. I mean, think of the fuel that might be consumed by your company vehicles or the energy consumed by machinery, if you have machinery. So that's very much Scope 1. Scope 2 is indirect greenhouse gas emissions. So these will be things that will be energy consumed by third parties. So, for example, business travel would fall under Scope 2 because the energy, you're paying for the flight, but there's the airline are paying for the fuel that's consumed by that plane. So that's really where Scope 2, 1 and 2 sit. And those two areas are very much under the control of the organization themselves. But where the challenge really comes is in Scope 3. This is in terms of the value chain, both upstream and downstream, of your suppliers and your customers, the energy that they use. So you can think of looking at all of the goods and services that you buy into your organization and assigning a carbon impact of those devices, of those companies. So if you buy a new PC for people in your organization or anything else you might buy in, you have to take into account that carbon impact. And the estimation is that for most companies, around about 70% of your overall carbon impact comes from your Scope 3 emissions, which is the ones that aren't necessarily directly associated with your activities, but more the activities of your suppliers in particular.
How can IT departments, including DevOps, DevSecOps, Cyber, Cloud Native professionals, that's a lot of the people that are watching this channel, how can they play a key role in supporting businesses in their sustainability goals?
Yeah, I think that the first thing that all companies can do as an overall rule is to reduce their consumption. So I think, you know, what we see particularly in IT is an overwhelming need to always have the latest equipment. And so a lot of equipment is replaced before it reaches end of useful life. So I think just reducing the amount that you can consume, you know, for example, if you have a policy in place, everybody gets a new laptop after 3 years, you really need to have that. Does that individual really need a new laptop? So I think reducing consumption from the IT department for employees and not just employees, but for the equipment you use around your organization is really the first step that you can make. But obviously, you are at some point, you are going to need to replace those assets. And when you do that, getting them from the most sustainable suppliers is going to be a really key aspect. So there can be big differences in terms of a laptop from one org that you might buy from Apple versus one that you might buy from Dell or HP or whoever it might be. So really taking all of that into account is going to be important. Then I think finally, just taking into account how you manage those assets when you do decide to dispose of them is really important. Because what we see for the most part is that most of the assets that companies buy, and particularly IT departments buy, are shredded and sent to landfill at the end of life, which clearly is very negative from an environmental impact. So I think just thinking a little bit more about how you might be able to recycle, reuse, repurpose those assets is going to have a very positive impact as well.
You talked a little bit about the data erasure of what you do, but can you explain how data erasure has a role in reducing a company's carbon footprint?
Yeah, sure. So if you can think, as I said earlier, about when you dispose of any IT equipment, there's clearly going to be a lot of information on that device. Specifically if it's a laptop or a PC, but even a server or even a tablet or mobile phone, there's going to be a lot of data on there which you're not going to want to have compromised. So you really need to think about how you're going to manage that. And traditionally, what's happened is that all of these devices are shredded into very tiny fragments so that the data can't be recovered from those devices. But what it also means is you can't resell them, you can't reuse them, you can't recycle them because it's just ground into pretty much of a powder. So by using data erasure software, you can permanently and auditably erase all data that's ever resided on that device to the point where it could no longer be recovered. And if you do that, you can then consider how you're going to distribute the asset. So it could be resold, recycled, repurposed, or whatever it might be. And just to give you a little bit of statistics, the United Nations reported last year that over 53 million tons of e-waste were generated in 2019. And around about half of that came from IT devices. So a huge amount of e-waste generated from the IT environment. We ourselves erased over 50 million devices, but we know that over 300 million PCs and laptops just on their own were sold last year. So that means there's a huge number of these assets which are ending up in landfill, which just doesn't need to happen.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is a concern about the end of life of these products, what happens to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's not just the sort of mass of the devices. I mean, the devices that we erased were 74 million kilos. But also the chemicals that are held within those devices, you'll get mercury is present in nearly all IT equipment that once you shred and put it into landfill, that's then released into the soil. And that's not released into the soil often in the country where the asset is disposed of. Often this goes into landfill in third world countries, shipped many thousands of miles to be put into landfill in Africa or China, wherever it might be. So all around, there's just a very negative environmental impact.
Are there any unique challenges that technology companies face in meeting the new ESG regulations?
Yeah, sure. I think there are. Typically technology companies don't have a very sort of material intensive environment. So much of the emissions that you're going to have is going to come from your scope 3 emissions, which is from your supply chain. So you really need to look at where you're buying in your goods and services from to make sure you get it from the most sustainable suppliers. So from our part, as I mentioned earlier, we became carbon neutral last year. We did the full scope 3 carbon calculation. And we found that the bulk of our carbon footprint was coming from the computer equipment that we were buying for our employees. So what we now need to do is to look at the manufacturers of that equipment and see if we can find it from a more sustainable supplier. And I think what you'll find is that the companies who are providing the most sustainable equipment are going to be able to charge a premium for those devices.
How can companies leverage cloud-native technologies to reduce their carbon footprint?
Yeah, I think in basic terms, the cloud should be a very positive impact. The alternative to the cloud is you have to buy in all of your own on-premise equipment to store the data that you might need. And so there's going to be a big carbon impact from doing that, and then also running the energy for those devices. So moving to the cloud, in theory, helps a lot of that, but it is still you sending your data to massive servers within huge data centers. And those data center providers themselves run a lot of pressure to do a lot better. So we've seen instances where the big data center providers are just consuming huge amounts of energy, and they're now under pressure to make sure that they get that energy from renewable sources. So I think what we see over time, a bigger switch away from carbon-intensive energy suppliers to ones from a more renewable source. And those companies are starting to look at their own carbon footprint or want to go with the most sustainable cloud providers, because it impacts on your own carbon footprint if you're using an unsustainable cloud provider. So I think there'll be a switch from all of them over to more renewable energies. And I think the other thing they'll need to look at is the way that they manage their equipment. So what we see at the moment is nearly all of the big cloud providers will have huge industrial shredders on site at their premises. And when equipment reaches the end of life, that equipment is thrown into the shredders, shredded, and goes to landfill. So there's barely any big cloud providers who recycle those assets at the moment. And that's another way that they need to improve. So yes, a move to the cloud should help, but the cloud providers themselves need to do a lot better.
And my last question is, how can technology companies leverage sustainability as a competitive advantage in the market?
Yeah, I think particularly from a hardware perspective, there's a really big opportunity. And you know, we're starting to see it already. Apple, for example, have said that by 2030, everything that they sell will be made from recycled materials. And so what that means is that when you're looking to buy equipment in for your employees, you'll see that an Apple device could be have a smaller carbon impact than another manufacturer who hasn't made their devices from recycled materials and has had to mine those materials new. So what we tend to see is that around about 70 to 80% of the carbon footprint of a laptop, for example, comes from the manufacturer. So actually mining for the minerals, the packaging, the distribution. If you're not having to mine for those minerals because you're using recycled materials, there's a huge carbon saving in that. So I think there's a big opportunity for the technology companies themselves to be more sustainable. And as they are part of many other companies' supply chain, that will help their customers to be more sustainable. So there's a real circularity around that whole supply chain issue, and that's going to start driving a change in behaviors, particularly as this new regulation comes through.
That was really informative. Adam Maloney, CFO of Lunco Technology Group, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on.
Wonderful. All right. Well, we are going to have a lot more on Tech Strong TV right after this.